Welcome to a brand new episode of the Long Coat Mafia Podcast, the internet's most hated mafia-themed geek podcast. I am the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and frontman, and this is a special episode. I say that because today, as I'm recording this, is the day that 4 years ago, we recorded our very first official episode. Not only was it our first official episode, it was our first host-based episode. We had three folks recording that day using the mic that I'm pretty much recording now. It's a CAD U37 microphone that I picked up on Amazon for about $40, and it's still working for the most part today. And the people that were there recording was not just myself, but Big Candy and Zombie Bunny. And as I've said, since Zombie Bunny left the show a few years ago, she's more than welcome to come back at any time if she so chooses. It's an open invite. Whether or not she chooses to come back, that's up to her. But I want to not just speak on that we've been doing this for officially for four years, and when I post this episode up, it will be 4 years in essence when we posted up that episode, because according to our records, we recorded it that Saturday, and that Sunday evening, which was July the 12th, I posted up that episode as our first official episode back July 12th, 2015. That's right, 4 years ago, we recorded a host-based episode. I wish, go back at our main website, thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com, and check it out. It was, I won't say a mess, but it was unique. The environment we were recording in was very it was a conference room at the library at the time, and we had to boost a lot of the audio because for the mic that we were using, it wasn't really picking things up very well, but it was very hard to do. I was first time myself editing the show and getting everything together. I didn't really know too much about what I was getting into, but we've come a long way. We're still learning. There's a few tricks of the trade, one of which I'm going to be using just in a few minutes, and we're still kicking out the bugs, so to speak, namely like when we do panels such as this past a few weeks ago at the Bigfoot convention we were at, and last year at the Paracon, the paranormal convention we were at, they involved two unique scenarios that we were not expecting and that we had to learn from. Without these experiences, we don't learn, we don't grow, and we have a lot more stuff to offer all of you. Our YouTube channel has, I won't say grown by YouTube, leaps and bounds. We're only about 15 subscribers. But I want to step away from that right now. Instead of reminiscing about the show, we could always do that some other time. But what I want to get into with this is to talk a little about Stranger Things Season 3, which dropped a week ago today. That's right. Season 3 dropped this past July the 4th, 2019, and since I had no real place to wander off to or go to, I decided to stick it at home and just pretty much binge watch the whole eight episodes that they were. I kind of liked it. It was a smoother season than the second season, there were no real episodes that kind of hindered stuff. Like, I think it was episode 7 of season 2, where it just kind of ground the heart a halt and wanted to do it like a backdoor pilot for a different season. It just wasn't pretty. I understand why that episode was needed, but this episode was kind of, you know, for those who remember in season 2, there was, again, episode 7, where Eleven was kind of, she ran away and to kind of meet her mother, so to speak, and she met up with one of the other quote-unquote experimental children, which helped teach her how to use her powers even better. And it just, the whole episode, I guess how it was written, ground things to a halt, and picking things up from there just didn't work. But this kind of, again, smoother, I think it takes place a year or two later than season 2. Yeah, again, you had instances where Eleven's kind of learning how to, I don't want to say blend in a little bit more. Granted, spoilers a lot for this. It takes, a lot of this is more of her coming into her own, being more, I don't mean this in a bad way in any way, shape, or form, girly. Just being that average, trying to learn to be an average teenage girl. There's nothing wrong with that. I saw no problems with that. One of the few errors I saw in the show took place pretty much in episode 1. And that was seeing a Ultra Magnus toy. In essence, a radio-controlled Ultra Magnus toy. Now, granted, let me say this. When it comes to Stranger Things, the folks that put this on, the show on, right, the show, they put a lot of things that happen in that year into that season, meaning that if it takes place in 82, they put a lot of stuff that comes out in 82. This case, this season takes place in 1985, but some of the problems that they run into and do is that they don't really adhere to when things come out, meaning they'll play a song that came, the season would take place, in this example, the week of July 4th, and they'll put a song or out that sometimes airs or is released at the end of the year instead of roughly when that time frame is for the show is, in essence, broadcast to everybody through Netflix. Now, the reason why Ultra Magnus stood out to me is because, granted, I was an 80s kid. I was when, in essence, in 85, I was 10 years old. And even though I didn't get a chance to see Transformers, the movie, in cinema, at that time, I don't remember the year, reasoning why, it's been so long, but the reason, I remember the toys, I read the comic when it came out, and that's, excuse me, I just know about the toys, but the Transformers, the movie, came out in 1986, not 1985. So this toy, even Sasha, the Princess of Darkness, spotted this little bit of an error. Everybody kind of agreed and theorized that this could have been a Japanese import, and that if it was, it would have been different colors. I'll give her that benefit. It's just that my arguments for that is that this might have been, I'm not exactly sure where Stranger Things takes place in regards to which state, meaning that if it takes place in, like, middle of Colorado or maybe someplace like that, or Montana, but if that's central United States, then they're not really near a major city or a major hub where they could get their the kids could get their hands on a toy variant such as this. It would be very hard. It's plausible, but it would be very hard to get it at that particular toy with that color set during that time frame, a full year earlier. Now, I also say that's like, meaning what I told her is like, I could understand if it was like New York City, LA, maybe even Chicago, where they'd have more access to the kids would have more access to information where they could possibly get this toy. My only thought after that, I didn't get a chance to speak to Sasha about it, is that during this time frame, is yes, I'm going on about a stupid little toy, but the thing is, during this time frame, if my memory serves, those who are big toy collectors, especially Transformers collectors, I just remember roughly in this time frame, they were putting stickers on the Transformers. I think it's Hasbro that did these toys. That what they were doing is, I think the promotion was that you'd know it was, would, because of these stickers, you'd know it was a real Transformers put out by us. And it was just a little bit of sticker that if you put your finger on that sticker, if it was an Autobot, the Autobot symbol would come up. If it was a Decepticon, the Decepticon symbol would come up. And I know that during this time, my folks picked me up a Transformer that is known as Shockwave. And they got it at Radio Shack. So my thinking is that this was a toy put out by Radio Shack a full year earlier. And so that could be a possibility. I don't know how true that could be, but one of the things that kind of got me, because I have at least one person who does like ham radio and all that, I think there's a possibility, I would have to speak to him, that I know during certain instances you could pick up things in town, like across the world, and with certain setups, but it's the aspect that during the process of the storyline, to move the storyline, like he picks up a Russian transmission, what would be a military transmission, and the thing is, it's a possibility, but the setup, I think his setup might have been weak for this system he had, or I should say the system and setup, even though it was a high location, I think for the fact it would not have been completely possible. It's plausible, but there was no reason behind it, meaning that Dustin was the person that the character that set up the system, and he's like, they said, well, this came the clarity. Oh, with this sound, it came from in town. They went with that route, whereas no, instead of saying my system is not that powerful to pick up anything from that distance, so this has to be local. Do you think it's local? And it was just weird. That's just a minor nerdy issue in regards to something like that. If any of you out there are ham radio enthusiasts or know somebody that is a ham radio enthusiast, have them write, you know, pass along that information. See how true that set up. But overall, things, you know, I liked the series. I liked it enough. It ended very, even though I'm going to continue like this, I loved the season. I loved how it went. I loved how it ended. Just that two things I'm leading into this in regards to it is that one, the fact that with this season, there are rumors running rampant saying that after season 4, it will be canceled. I seriously doubt it. Even though the creator said that they were thinking of ending the season at, I should say, ending Stranger Things at season 4 or season 5. They don't know yet. And they'll have to talk to Netflix, I guess, about that. But from what else I heard is that this, over the past week, Netflix released, I think for the first time in a long, long time, is that they released the numbers. They said that there were like 40 million people worldwide that watched Netflix over the past week or so. And close to $20 million, not dollars, 20 million people, I think it was 18.5 million people, finished the season day one. Either way, that's impressive numbers, having that many people watch Stranger Things season 3. So with that big of a success, yes, there, I don't think Netflix is going to really say we're going to cancel it after season 4. But then with all the streaming services that will be coming out later this year, early next year, who knows? And also, Netflix has been known to cancel good seasons before, or good series before. So we'll have to wait and see how things are doing. And one of the things that has also brought up is that there was an after credit scene in the last episode, and I'm going to say this, spoilers, Hopper kind of disappears. And the reason why I say this was like a good ending, meaning if they canceled it outright, people would be pissed if they canceled Stranger Things right now. But if they did, they kind of left, even though they left on a cliffhanger, they, with the after credit scene, but how it ended was very well. How the season ended, very well. Against diehard spoilers, the fact of the matter is that Eleven kind of lost her powers, I guess. The way that she just used them too much, too hard, she lost her powers. Whether or not she gets her powers back, I don't know. But if, again, it's one of those way they ended it, the season, the fact that she lost her powers, gets to live a normal the normal life of a teenage gal, young gal, that's a good ending for her. And the thing is, also, at the end of the series, we find that Hopper is, I'm going to use the word, disappeared. Because with some of the experiments the Russians were doing, if the machine turned off, people that were around it, no matter how protected, that were in close proximity to this machine, would, in essence, go the way of Thanos. And after everything was said and done, the show had its epilogue. You went through the credits, and they had this after credit scene. And it's at this Russian base, actually Russian base. It's one of the things I don't want to additional spoils to, but the scene takes place in Russia, and as they're walking past the cells, the guard says, "Don't take the American, take one of the other people in the other cells." And the thing is, that what's come out and what's been theorized, even by the person who plays Hopper, is the fact that the guard that says "don't take the American," and that using that particular inflection that he did in the show, is how he was referred to, or his character was referred to, by that same Russian. So therefore, it's a way of them hinting that the person that may be in that cell is Hopper. So if there's a season 4, we won't know until season 4. So it's kind of a cliffhanger. It's kind of not. But I can't wait to see a season 4 about it. Again, I enjoyed it. Yes, there has been a few negative things that have come out of it. Stories that I don't want to mention here or talk about here. Let me just say one because it's kind of minute. Because somebody outraged that they were smoking in Stranger Things because it takes place in the 1980s. They got all up in arms saying that how dare these characters smoke, it's bad for kids, the people are going to imitate smoking, so forth and so on. And it's just, people are just fed up about that. I'm not going to give you all my opinions about it, but I want to be happy and be focus on the positive stuff, because we've been doing this for years, and I want to focus on the positive things. So we're going to kind of talk about the fun stuff about Stranger Things. And one of the other things that people have noticed is that there's a character in the show called Murray Bauman, and they kind of release his number on screen. And like most people, they call the number. If they give a full 10-digit number, 11 if you want to use the 1, but if somebody gives out the attention 10-digit number, meaning it's the 3-digit area code, whatever it is, 555-1212, somebody's going to call the number. Somebody's going to look at it. And in this case, they mentioned Murray's number on it. It's floating around Facebook. It was floating around Twitter. I posted the number up on our Instagram and Facebook because I did a test call, and it doesn't go to somebody. It's a even better. I have everything set up. Let's call the number and see if it's still active, shall we? So here it is. Let's do the call.
Hi, you have reached the residence of Murray Bauman. Mom, if this is you, please hang up and call me between the hours of 5 and 6 p.m. as previously discussed, okay? And if this is Joyce, thank you for calling. I've been trying to reach you. I have an update. It's probably best if we speak in person. It's not good or bad, but it's something. And if this is anyone but my mother or Joyce, well, you think you're real clever getting my number, don't you? Well, here's some breaking news for you. You're not clever. You're not special. You are simply one of the many, many nimwits to call here, and the closest you will ever get to me is this pre-recorded message. So, at the beep, do me a favor. Hang up and never call here again. You are a parasite. Thank you and good day.
Sorry, this mailbox is full and cannot accept any more recordings. Thank you for using the voicemail system. Goodbye.
Well, all right, they're finally disconnected. The voicemail box is now full. That's something when I called it a few days ago. It didn't have that included message to it, but that's why I posted the number, is because when I did test it, you got that promotional voicemail to it, and I wasn't doxing anybody. I know nobody said, hey, you're doxing somebody. I guess in the future when this number, whoever owns the rights of this number, or I should say, if Netflix and Stranger Things decide to stop using this number for promotional means, it will go to somebody, and at that point, I will take the number down once I find out, or if somebody tells me, hey, Rev, the number now belongs to Tommy Smith or Jane Doe, please take the number down, you're doxing somebody, I will I will wholeheartedly delete the post and go back into our timeline. Hopefully it's not that far back, but if it's like years down the road, I will probably leave it up on Facebook, and because it's buried that far back, but on Instagram I will take it down. But the fact of the matter is, like I said, it's a fun little promotional message from Murray from Stranger Things to explain the character. He's kind of like a conspiracy theorist a little bit, or someone who's really, really paranoid. And I think his first appearance was in Season 2, and that's what he was. He was just this conspiracy theorist, or a journalist that was who had these weird ideas that were out there. But either way, I just wanted to share that with you, that in essence that message with all of you, and just share a little bit about season three of Stranger Things. Do I recommend Stranger Things out there? Yeah, it's very good. It's a very interesting horror-based drama TV show. As one person explained it, it is if X-Files and Goonies came together. Very good explanation in regards to that. I recommend giving it a watch if you haven't seen it. If it's kind of hard to say, I can't pair it with something like Breaking Bad, where a lot of folks said watch the first season. Yes, it's a little rough, it's a little hard to watch, but power through it, then watch the second, it'll latch on. But it just, if it's not your thing, I could respect that, but for the most part, give it a watch. I enjoyed it, and thank you out there. Hopefully when we meet up with Big Candy, and probably at some point, I know later this month we'll be possibly meeting up with Sasha, the Princess of Darkness herself. We'll get her take and her thoughts in regards to Stranger Things Season 3 as well. So please stay tuned for that. There's a lot of stuff coming up, a lot of things that we have to deal with and go through. So again, I just wanted to have a special episode for all of you celebrating us 4 years doing this weird podcasting thing and giving you a lot of interesting content over the past several years. So don't worry, there will be a brand new episode on Monday. This is just a special episode celebrating our 4 years and heading into our fifth year. So take care, all of you. Stay tuned to our where you find our podcast. Again, if you're listening to us on your desktop through Spotify or our YouTube channel, you can find us still on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. They haven't switched things over yet. You can find us again if you're listening on anything other than where podcasts are found. You can find us on Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and that's pretty much it on desktop. But if you're on the go, you could find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, and pretty much where podcasts are found. Let us not mention, if you want to listen to our very first episode that we did 4 years ago, you have to go back into our archives. But if you're on your desktop, by going to our website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com, or using the Podbean app in regards to do that. In regards to our social media, we are on YouTube. You'd have to just, when you log into YouTube, just search for Long Coat Mafia Podcast, and we will come up. We're usually the first or second thing that comes up on that search. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/ The Long Coat Mafia Podcast. And for the folks out there, please subscribe to our YouTube channel and hit that like button on our Facebook page, because I say that again because I tend to put exclusive videos on both, depending on the type of video I get, meaning that if I know it's going to be a video that's going to be instant claimed on YouTube, or there's going to be problems with it on YouTube, or it's too short for YouTube sometimes, I'll put it on Facebook. But if it's too long, or I just want to do something for YouTube, it's going to be a YouTube exclusive. So that's why I ask all of you out there, please go to our YouTube channel and subscribe there, because there's going to be some videos there exclusively. I did one a couple of days ago, and it's up on our YouTube channel. Let's see, what else? Don't forget, we do have an email address. It is longcoatmafia@gmail.com. Feel free to join the conversation by emailing us. Or if you want, again, you can go to our Facebook page and commenting under the pinned post where this particular show link will be. We are also on Twitter. The handle is longcoatmafia. While you're there, please hit that follow button. We are also on Instagram. Our handle is longcoatmafia. While you're there, please, you can send us DMs on Twitter and on Instagram. My biggest issue in regards to DMs on Instagram is that we get a lot of people doing their hustle on Instagram, and that's something for a different day. Maybe I could get into it with Big Candy, who knows. We also have a Mixer channel and a Twitch channel. Our Mixer channel is mixer.com/LCMP, and those letters are in caps. So if watching people stream are your thing, go over there and hit that subscribe button. And our Twitch link is twitch.tv/longcoatmafiapod. And if you're Twitch type person, go over there and hit that subscribe button or follow button. I'm trying to do both, or Twitch stream on both every now and again. I gotta get back into it. I do apologize. Let's see what else. That seems to be about it. I think I covered all. If I'm missing something, all the links to our social media accounts are in the description down below, especially on our main page, again, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. Sorry, folks, it's late at night. I want to get the special episode out to all of you. And that being said, again, all our links are on our main page with everything posted up, and our main page again is, once again, thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. So take care, folks, and see you all on Monday. So stay tuned. It will be another great episode. It's going to be an interview episode, so please stay tuned to catch that episode. And I am out.
See you next time on the Longcoat Mafia.